Welcome to the best damn hunting podcast on the planet. Welcome to HuntCast. And now your host, TJ Schaefer.
What's up, guys? It's TJ Schaefer. Thank you for tuning into the HuntCast. I've got my brother back, finally.
What's up, everybody?
Paul Schaefer in the house, and we got a couple other special guests. But before we get into all that, I want to go ahead and just tell you guys, you got to go and log into our Instagram, follow us on there. We just did a contest where we gave away a hog hunt, and it was freaking badass. And anyway, we got a YouTube channel that we are currently in the middle of getting going, and it ought to be ready in the next 2 weeks. I'm calling it. We'll be up and running in 2 weeks, so you need to go ahead and go and hit subscribe so that you you get in and all the good stuff as it comes out. All right. With that being said, I did it freaking quick this week, Paul.
Yes.
Paul's over there on his phone like a little douchebag.
No, I'm checking the Instagram. I'm trying to get it into the next contest.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what we got going on today is, here's Paul, by the way. And hey, first episode ever that this is on YouTube as well.
I'm so excited to be there.
And so I'm doing all this crap. Here's Paul. So
Paul.
Yeah, whatever.
What?
And we got Jason with us. Say what's up, Jason.
What's going on, guys?
And we got the I didn't scroll over. I'm having to learn this stuff still, you know? So it's taking me a minute to kind of figure out what's going on.
Now the anticipation's killing the listeners.
Here's Jason.
How's it going?
Yeah. And for everybody listening, they're like, what the
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now I know what it feels like. You know? All right, and we got Travis. Say what's up, Trav.
How's it going?
The T-Bone himself.
Yeah. So anyway. I didn't transition over to Travis, so there's Travis right
there's
there.
There's Travis. There's the T-Bone.
Yeah, funny. I'm telling you, dude. We'll eventually get all this going on and learn. But anyway, for the time being, we thought we would do an episode today. And since our hunting season is over, it ended, a week ago Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, the 24th.
Yeah, so we've been out of season for almost 2 weeks.
On my birthday.
On your birthday, yep. And so we thought it would be a good time to do a hunting season review from all of us at Bird Mountain. And Paul's not at Bird Mountain, so you're just going to have to...
I'm going to sit here and listen
ask
to y'all.
Ask random questions and such. But anyway, I feel like, guys, I feel like we had a pretty successful season. Mine started off really slow. We'll get into that. But for the most part, I thought it was a really, really good season. Everybody had a chance to kill something, and it worked out great. It worked out great. So let me just say, Jason, if you were to just straight up summarize your season, what would it be? Not a specific event. Just say it was awesome, or you know, whatever.
It was awesome. I hit my goal. I mean, I did what I wanted to do. I got my son his first deer.
Boom.
So, you know, I think I said that at the beginning on the intro of us earlier this year, saying, well, what do you want to do this year?
Yeah.
Wanted to get him a deer, and that's what we did. So,
what kind of deer did he get?
He got him a doe.
There you go.
Well,
we had to clarify that way nobody thought, you know, he was breaking down the red deer or the stag or
the mule deer.
You just wait and you ask some questions. Anyway, Travis, dude, tell me a little bit kind of what your season was like.
It was a good season, very good season. What I'm most excited about is the deer we've seen this year for next year. We got a couple of deer picked out that we should be able to watch grow over the summer, and they're going to be some really good deer next year. That's what I was excited about this year.
Well, and what I think is really cool is, you know, you and I, we see a lot of the same deer.
Mm-hmm.
We hunt, I guess, I wouldn't say, well, your main stand and probably my number, I wouldn't say it's my number two stand, but it's like a close second to my number one stand. Anyway, and I call my stands number one, number two, but so that's totally beside the point right now. But I don't know, my close to B stand that there is, we share a lot of the same deer, and we do and we don't. I mean, we have a group of probably four or five deer that that are the same, but then we each have our own separate groups as well that come. And one of the videos that just released on the YouTube channel, on our Winter Full of Weekend series was when Abby, my oldest daughter, when she shot a buck. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say she missed a buck. I mean, she shot the buck.
Yes, she
it just
did.
Didn't die. And so me and you both have been seeing that deer over the course of, I mean, the rest of season,
rest
pretty
of
much.
Season,
yeah.
Over a month.
And that sucker, I don't even know how to describe it, Paul. It is super wide. It's not tall. We call it a bad name that we can't say on the air.
Why?
Because this is a politically correct
podcast. Oh, yeah, don't say it.
So we can't say it. Oh, I'm telling you, that bourbon, dude, it's already wearing me out. We can't say it on the air. But anyway, we call it this name. And, oh, God, the listeners' minds are probably going crazy right now. It's not that bad.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. But anyway, this deer, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like next year because he's super wide. He's not very tall. He had some okay mass. And, dude, he was hammering the protein.
Stays in the protein.
I mean, dude is all over the protein. And so there is no telling what this deer is going to look like next year. Travis, if you were to guess, and I know you're Mr. Scorekeeper, you freaking measure every inch down, every deer down to the 16th of an inch, but just, do you think he's going to be a great deer next year?
I think he's going to be a unique deer like he was this year, because he is 21 inches wide this year, short-tined, but what's so unique is he only comes out about an inch above his head and then goes out.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be a trophy to anybody next year. Not high scoring, but a very unique once in a lifetime deer.
Now you saw the deer right after Abby shot it.
2 days.
And like
after.
I said, we got it on film. We found blood. I mean the Winter Full of Weekends episode, I think it's episode 4, it goes through the whole thing in detail to where she shot it. We went down and probably went well. I mean, it really doesn't matter at this point, but I thought at the time we'd gotten down a little early because he was bedded down and popped up and ran off, basically. We found blood. We found, I thought it was a dead deer. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought we would eventually find it, but, we didn't. Travis, where do you think she hit this deer?
I couldn't tell. One day I'd see him, he was limping real bad. I thought she hit him low. And then another time I seen him, he got closer to me because he walked. It only took him about 3 weeks to lose his limp.
Yeah.
And he never did really limp bad. One time he came close and it looked like it was high in the shoulder. He had a scar there. Couldn't tell if it was a bullet wound. And like I said, I seen it 2 days after she shot it and there was no blood, nothing on the deer. So I have no clue. She shot him up front somewhere, either up high or down low.
Well, it's crazy because when she hit it, now the camera, when you watch the video, the camera is still on the ground because we had a crap ton of wasp in the stand. And I was basically filming myself going up and spraying these wasps because I figured something stupid was going to happen. Like, and I say wasps, I'm talking like a football, like 2 or 3 football size wasp nest in the stand.
God.
Yeah. And so I figured something ridiculous was going to happen and I needed to get it on film because everybody would laugh or whatever, or it could be, I could die and that could be, everybody have proof of what happened.
Right.
The camera's on the ground. I kill all the wasps. I climb up and, Abby's handing me stuff into the stand and she's handing me the last thing. She starts climbing up the ladder. She gets halfway up. I turn and I look out the window of the stand, and there it is. It's walking from the bottom of the creek up towards me. And I tell her, I said, Abby, do not move. Now, I've told everybody my hunting season was extremely slow up until this point. And I called myself the babysitter because all I saw was baby deer everywhere I went. I mean, no matter what stand I hunted in, I saw baby deer all the time. And I say baby deer, I'm talking about 1.5-year-old, 6 points, things like that, or spikes. This was the first deer that was somewhat mature that I saw. I was like, don't move. I didn't know which deer it was at the time. And anyway, she ended up, it ended up jumping into the feeder pen. It started eating. It turned its head away from us. I told her to get in the stand. She got in the stand. She shot it. And you know, that's that. So I don't get the – I say all that whole long-ass story to say I didn't get
– I know, man. I was like, are we listening to a movie script? What's going on?
I didn't get the shot on camera, but I know when she hit it, it like – it flinched. It hurt it, you know, and it bled. So
y'all never found it?
No, we never found it. Well, I mean, we didn't find it. The sumbitch is still alive. We got it. I mean, I got it on film. Matter of fact, the end of this episode on the Winter Full of Weekends, the end of the episode, I show it 2 months later or a month later, you know, eating corn out of the freaking feeder pen again.
Wow.
And so, I don't know. I mean, if I ever got shot someplace, I probably wouldn't go back there.
No kidding.
But this deer, it made its way back for sure. I don't know. Jason, tell me what was probably your... I know your son shooting his first deer. I mean, what were some of the things that you wish you would have done differently? Which I know me and Travis consider and probably tell you a bunch of them for you. But what is some stuff that you would do differently if you were starting the season over? Or hell, what are you going to do differently next year?
Next year I'm going to take a little bit more time on my clear cut stand to actually establish my shooting lanes again. We had them established last year. But the timber company come through and planted and just screwed my entire clear cut completely up. So it's going to take several weekends for me to get it prepared. And that's kind of what I regretted this year by sitting in that stand looking and not being able to see what I could have seen the year before.
So y'all had a timber company come in there that, like, during hunting season?
A timber company owns the land.
Okay.
Yeah, we lease the land from the timber company.
So they do whatever they want.
Hell yeah,
they
do
whatever they want. So were y'all out there when all that was going down?
No, they at the end of season last year, I had some cleared out, you know, just getting it ready for next year when we brought out the tractors and all that. Well, when we came out with the tractors, I mean, it was jarring your teeth out of your mouth whenever you're just trying to get to one place as slow as possible because when they come through, they rip the land? Is that what they call it to put their seedlings in and all that?
Yeah, so they clear cut it, meaning they cut all the timber off of it. And, you know, you've seen pictures of, like, an area that a tornado has gone through, which, by the way, our prayers are out to everybody in Alabama that got hit by the tornado. We, you know, we really hadn't had a lot of tornado damage across the country, and I guess it's just kind of getting to that season.
Yeah, it is.
But Alabama got wrecked, and so, you know, our prayers are out to them. But you've seen what a tornado looks like going through just, like, a unpopulated area, okay, where it just breaks all the trees and crap like that. That looks good compared to what a logging crew will do to a piece of land.
Really?
Yeah.
So
they'll go in and they just wreck shop and they don't give a crap. And, you know, and that's what the land's for. It's to grow timber. So I'm not talking shit about timber logging, whatever.
But it interrupts your hunting, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And we'll get to that in a minute.
You just got to change your plans. I mean,
you got to adapt. Got to adapt. And we had a couple areas this year that we had to adapt in. But, anyway, once they get done with doing that, they put a bulldozer on it with a big, it's just called a ripper blade. It's just a big freaking tooth on the back of the dozer that as it's going, it's just ripping up the ground in lines. And they're basically establishing the rows where they're going to plant the trees in the future. Again, I'm very long-winded today, but all that to say Jason's spot looked like shit.
It did. I mean, nothing else to say about it. Other than you get out there and you're surprised and you're like, well, shit, I don't have enough time to do anything now. So let's just go elsewhere and make the best of it.
Well, you boys work hard out there too, man.
Travis, what would you say to what Jason said?
He needs to get it done. That spot's too good of a spot. I hate it for him. He gets one of the best spots on the lease. I think he'll get it there next year. But it's just hard to get away from the house. When you're not hunting, it's hard to make yourself go to that deer lease. And that's not an hour-long, two-hour-long thing. That, like he said, that's going to be a couple-weekend job. So hopefully he gets it done because that's a great spot for him for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he should have already had it done, if you want me to just be honest with you. I mean, I got my shit done.
Well, yeah, but they told me that you're like Hitler out there, dude. Like, you're barking orders, making people do stuff.
No, bullshit. Like, I do my own stuff.
Tearing stuff up. Stopping the whole process by having to come pull them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Not
the case. How many times did you get stuck this year?
Yeah.
I don't know, two.
That's it?
I know of one time I got stuck with Ben in my Ranger.
Then you got stuck again.
In the Ranger in the same spot.
And before season?
A tractor.
I wasn't necessarily stuck.
Could you go forward or backward?
I got out.
How?
With a bucket?
No.
Where was I at?
In the swamp.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, that was bad. That wasn't stuck. That was high centered. Yeah, that was
pretty
on
much
a.
We wasn't going nowhere.
That was on a freaking 40-year-old oak tree that I just kind of drove up on accident.
Boom.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, Travis, what about you? What are some areas that you would, what do you wish, what will you be doing differently next year on some of your spots?
Next year, I'm going to put more hog pens up to keep the hogs out, two more spots. Also, one spot in particular that we kind of shared, the clear cut, I got to get the stumps out.
Because by the way, we shared the spot. I never hunted it one time.
I hunted it twice.
Okay. Well, two more than me on our share stand.
It was unlocked. Okay. You could have went there. Pigs are too bad there. That's one that we have to get a pen around. Lots of deer in the area, just pigs didn't give them a chance. So that's basically, unless something gets cut that's not scheduled to get cut, next year should be fairly simple to get ready for me.
Well, I will say that it's never simple.
No. Something will break.
Yeah, it's never simple. Paul, I, on two of my spots, actually three of my spots, I put up this hog panel that we've talked about before. It's, 30 inches high, mm-hmm. comes in 16-foot panels, and you put six of them together, it gives you like a 32-foot diameter circle pin around your feeders and keeps pigs out.
And it works.
30 inches high?
Yeah, 30 inches high. Deer will still jump over it all day long. So it's not even quite 6 inches away from 3 feet.
Yeah,
so
it's 34 inches tall.
Yeah, 34 inches, whatever. But I'm telling you, it cost me, $200 a pin?
$180
a pin. Best money I've ever spent in my life. I said last year, I'm not feeding pigs all year this year. I did it last year. I fed pigs. All my backstands, I fed pigs all year long.
Right.
In the hopes that a damn deer would come out, and they never did because pigs are always around. This year, completely different story.
Wow.
Completely different.
Good, man, good.
To hell with a pig. I don't care what pig man says. He can suck it.
Did you boys have, you just said on one of your stands that you had bad pig problems, right?
Yes.
And did you, Jason?
Always.
Always?
Always. They come through certain times of the year.
He don't even know what you asked.
No, pig problems. You hear me?
Yeah, pig problems. Always. They just come. I'll have probably a month of deer. That's it. And then hear the pigs.
Really?
You know, and run the deer off and all that. I was having good luck with it this year until one decided to come and just rip the spinner off the feeder. That's what he did.
You don't have a fence around yours?
No.
Oh, I got you.
Why not, Jason?
Money issues right now.
Money? You just tell me it's 30 cents or whatever it was, right?
$180.
$180.
That, and then by the time I got ready to put it out there, the way I have to get to this one location is I have to drive past two other people's on a pipeline. And
it's a hell of a, Jason.
Hey, it's a hell of a creek he's got to go down to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, there's no trailers getting back there, no trucks. I mean, it's hard to get a Ranger crew back there to it. You know, and the only way to basically get it back there is to tote it, and I didn't feel like it.
TJ had a YouTube video that you uploaded on your channel with you toting like some your ladder and stuff.
You know what I'm talking about? That creek, I don't remember which episode of on the YouTube it is, but that creek is the one I got stuck in twice. I'm a Ranger. And so I was like, hell no, I ain't going to do that again.
Because you were by yourself.
Yeah, I was by myself, and I hauled 200 pounds of corn to that feeder, which was probably 120 yards away.
Yeah.
Then had to haul the ladder in order to blow. I mean, it was a bitch. It was a long ass. I mean, it probably took me a couple hours to do all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the price you pay,
right,
to make stuff happen.
Right, you know? Jason? Are you listening, Jason? Are you listening to this?
Jason?
Yeah, I mean, hell, I shot $2 this year.
Hey, okay, let's just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, Travis. He shot $2 this year, but they were on other people's spots.
Ooh.
No.
Oh, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
What happened, Jason?
Jason, you tell the story.
Tell the story, Jason.
All right. For the last, I guess, I want to
show Travis. Travis over there just being all quiet.
He can be quiet. For the last 20 years, we've had a spot called the Burlap Sack. And that's where I hunted. Went up there, put the corn out, sat there, about to get up. My deer came out, and I shot it.
So simple. It sounds simple to me. So what happened, TJ? Travis, what's the other side of the story there?
That was it. He was legit on that. But what TJ was trying to say is Jason did not shoot a buck out of either one of his two stands.
Is that's a no-no with y'all, right?
Up there, his first buck, the burlap sack, Jason's always hunted it. And I don't know about the deer yet. Still don't know about the age of it because I've never seen it.
Oh,
but that was legit.
What do you say about it, TJ? I'm just picking with Jason.
I said it was an old deer. He did good. It was an old deer. We still haven't brought up the elephant in the room on the whole situation. I'm talking about Big Bubba.
I was hoping we get to this story.
Let's talk about Bubba.
Jason, tell me the story.
Tell us the story with Bubba.
What's the deal with your older brother, Bubba?
What
do you mean about what? I know. I don't even hunt. I know this story.
Yeah, that one should have been a secret.
What?
Or that one was shot. I don't care. It wasn't my deer. That deer needed to be killed.
I agree.
Well, what's the problem?
What happened, Jason?
I feel like there's awkward.
Where'd you shoot your other buck at?
Here we go. Point. Yeah, they had a fresh clear cut out there. So I am sitting about, I don't know, 300 yards away from two people's stands. So, legal. I am away from everybody's stand. And as far as you can see, about 400 yards away was this 6-point. And he started coming back towards me. So, I ended up shooting it, of course. And I did have to drive past my brother's stand to go get it. But it was over 300 yards away from his stand when I shot it.
And that's legal. And y'all said, what's the controversy about?
No, I'm just giving him a hard time.
Oh, man.
I'm just doing talking crap.
I'll say this. When was the last time he hunted that stand?
When was it?
The weekend before.
Oh, bullshit.
Was he there? He was there?
No. I don't remember the last time he hunted that spot.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason I hunted the spot was because it was cold and my son was griping about it being too cold.
Yeah, and it was a great deer, though, right?
We just went to it. It was an old deer.
Oh, okay.
Really old deer. 6-point. I mean, he should have been off it a couple of years ago.
Man. So I got a question, stupid question, really quick. When y'all are in your stands, y'all ever see hogs, like, running around?
Yeah.
Like, do you see them?
I shot a pig out of my stand.
Yeah, I was going to ask if y'all ever shoot them out of your stand.
There's my front lane is about 140 yards away, something like that, and it's got a it's got a feeder pin around the feeder. And then on my left lane, I just pour corn out on the ground. Because sometimes, Travis can attest to this, but there's some bucks that won't come to a feeder, but they'll come to a corn pile. Almost said porn pile.
Oh.
Which he wouldn't come to a porn pile.
Yeah.
Whatever. But anyway, one night, a freaking pig came out, and I had my 300 Win Mag. Was that the first?
That was your first kill.
First kill with the 300 Win Mag?
I think he made a mistake by shooting him because he's the only pig that would come for about 2 weeks. And what happened after you killed him?
I didn't have pigs.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did. That's right. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. I don't know. I shot that pig. Anyway, he came out one night, I had my 300 Win Mag, and I was hunting one specific buck. It was late in the season, and I had this one buck coming pretty regularly, and it was the weirdest crap in the world because – if I wasn't there, he was there. He didn't know I was there. There ain't no way. Everybody's going to argue and say, you know, that buck knew you were there, and that's why he didn't come out. Bullshit. That deer didn't have a clue that I was ever there. I saw deer all the time while I was there. It's just dumb luck that he didn't show up when I was there. That's all there was to it. And so, anyway, I was hunting this one buck, and stupid pig comes out. And I told Travis, I said, I ain't shooting no pig. If pig comes out, I'm just going to let him eat. I'm waiting for this buck. Pig came out. He sat there about 45 seconds, and I laid his ass down. I couldn't stand it. I hate a pig. Shot him in the freaking head, and he dropped and bled all in the corn, and it was nasty crap. What? How much, Travis, you think that pig weighed? I don't even.
Probably about 175.
Yeah, I mean it's a good sized pig. Good as a boar. But yeah, I shot him with my 300 Win Mag, and that's the only pig I shot.
Josh, you did?
Other than catching them in traps, I mean that's it. I hadn't seen any. Now I take that back. Last time I went hunting, I was walking out with my bow and walked up on several that was just out in the clear cut, just in goat weed about 3 foot high, and
went John Rambo on them.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Disappointing story, Jason.
Yeah, I hey, I don't know what to say.
Travis walked shot by, pigs.
I mean, that was it.
How many pigs?
I've seen four times. My wife shot one with her bow, opening day of bow season. I shot, found two. I hit four with one shot, those little pigs at one time. Shot another one, and then shot another one. The other two were by themselves. So I seen pigs four times and killed six.
Dang.
Or we killed six. But that was it. They were coming. I would hear them every morning down there in the creek. Between me and TJ, I'd hear them, but they kind of got smart. They'd wait till right at dark, and they'd come out.
Well, have any of you guys been to the lease in the last couple of weeks?
Went Saturday.
Have they cut blinking light yet?
Nope. They're cutting by the last gate, Bubba's Gate. They have it cleared.
Bubba's Gate?
The last gate, the White Rock Gate.
Oh, on the left-hand side?
Yes. They came in and cleared that. It's gone.
So are they skipping blinking light?
Have no clue what they're doing.
Huh.
I didn't go down the private road because it was real muddy and didn't want to get the truck that muddy.
Well.
Yeah, they wasn't supposed to cut that, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were cutting all that. Because it goes all the way up to John Williams and Bubba's Pipeline. Yes. That whole inner
yes,
part that of that road.
Was supposed to be the last clear cut for the year, but I don't know. They're in there a lot. I mean, the roads were horrible from that gate to the private road.
Well, Paul, that was another reason. Like, last year I hunted the front of the lease, which is this stand I call Blinking Light, a lot towards the end of the season. And I probably would have hunted it a lot this year, but I was kind of saving it for kids because I had a couple deer coming that weren't great, but they'd been great. They would have been great deer for the kids to shoot. And the kids just never showed up at the end of the season. I mean, it's just one thing after another towards the end of the season where we just didn't go much. But, it's supposed to be clear cut. So that means we're going to have to change that. I have to get a whole new game plan on that whole new area. I'm not really even sure how I'm going to address all that. But, I don't know. What? Tell me, Travis, who – okay, first off, who shot their bucks first? Travis, you shoot yours first?
As in our group?
Yeah.
Or everybody?
In our group.
Yes, I killed the first one.
Okay, so tell me the story. We'll go in chronological order here, Paul.
Perfect.
And you're going to have to ask questions like crazy.
Okay? I will. I'll jump in.
So, Travis, tell me the story of your deer.
Mine was early or mid-November. It was after the rut, what we would say. We'd stop seeing them chase. It was on a road that we called Dad's Road. I'd been cornering it all year. Went on a Friday, checked the camera around 2:30. Seen there was two bucks on there. Went and got our oldest brother out of his stand and told him to go down there and sit and told him what was coming out. And the next he went there, seen pigs. The next morning, I went and sat there. And right at daylight, I was still setting up my camera, everything else, and I looked down there. I noticed something was different. I was like, well, that's a deer down there. I put up my binoculars, and I seen which one it was and just started shaking. I have never shook that bad on a deer in my life.
Why is that? Like, why are you shaking?
Usually when I see a deer I want to shoot, I shoot it. I don't sit there and let my adrenaline get going. But I couldn't. If so dark, I couldn't even shoot it. And when I looked through my scope, I could see the blur of it, but I could not shoot.
Dang.
So I had time to work my nerves up. And finally, I could not get still. I was on the shooting sticks, could not get still. That's why the next week I spent $100 on a good pair of shooting sticks to prevent that. But I shot. He took off running, and I could barely see. I was down there with my flashlight trying to find blood. Could not see it, and that was the first weekend I got my gun back, my old gun. I'd had in I had some work done to it. Couldn't find blood, anything. Walked back up there, was sick to my stomach because I knew I'd miss that drop time. I knew what deer it was. Well, 8 o'clock, I walked back down there and just started walking through the woods. Got from me to you, 2 feet, and I seen it, just relieved.
That's awesome, man.
Just was like, I did it. Yeah. I'm done. My season, I'm good. All this work was worth it.
That's awesome.
Jason, show your camera his deer.
There it is.
And then.
Good right there?
Yeah.
Probably the deer TJ is referring to that he was hunting towards the end of the year. I rattled him in.
Of course.
And I wanted to shoot him so bad.
Of course he did. You know, any deer that I go after, he's already seen him. He's already passed on him. You know, I mean, Travis is the master hunter of all hunters.
Well, everything he just said was a fact, but I wouldn't say it like that. But I seen him walk out, and I'd had pictures. That was one of the two deer that I showed our older brother to shoot. And I was like, well, he's still here, and I know he's an old deer. He needs to be taken, in my opinion, needed to be taken out. Well, he goes away. Well, about 30 minutes later, I started rattling. He came back out. And I was like, good. I was going to send Jason down there that night to go try to rattle him back in. 10 minutes later, I heard a shot from where he went in. I was like, oh, my God, I hope that guy didn't get that deer. Well, this is 8.140-plus inches.
Who was it?
Russ.
Okay.
And my heart just sank. I was like, man, well, I can't believe he got that deer. Well, and that's just not me being greedy. It's just it's like, dang. Yeah. I wanted, in my mind, I wanted my oldest brother or Jason to shoot it.
Yeah, screw me.
Yeah. TJ, there's no telling what he could shoot on his clear cut. But we get back to camp. He shot another deer. So I was happy.
Yeah.
And to skip ahead, a month later, that deer shows up. How far is that back there?
As a crow flies, probably not that far. Probably,
but it has to cross a
huge... It's got to cross a creek that's like the freaking Red River.
What?
Yeah, dude. It's a freaking huge creek that it's got to cross, and this deer straight up crossed this creek.
That's
I don't know
the
how.
Second one that's done that this
year. I don't
year.
Know. And I don't know what drew him to cross the creek.
Have
I mean.
No clue.
Unless he's chasing a doe, maybe early season or during the rut, mm-hmm. and crosses that creek, and he would have to push that doe across the creek too, because there ain't no deer gonna just cross this creek.
Because there's nothing better on the other side.
Yeah,
it's the same.
It's yeah, and so he had to have, and then from there, I mean, it's still another 500, 600 yards that he traveled to get to where he was. All I can think of is a doe. He pushed a doe across that creek, got up front, and then once the season settled down, he went back to his home range. I don't know if they do that or not. I don't know how true that is. People talk all the time about deer behavior and stuff, but unless you got tracking collars on these sumbitches, you don't know what they're going to do.
No.
And I promise you, deer at our deer lease do different things than they do here an hour and a half away. And they sure the hell do different things than they do 10 hours away up north somewhere. I mean, it's just no... You can figure out what a group of deer do in a certain area because they're the deer that you just grow to know.
Right.
But you're not going to know what they do all over the place. I don't care who you are.
That's the one he was trying to hunt.
Who? TJ?
Yes, that's the one
that
I seen.
That was the magic one, right?
Yes.
Look at that thing.
Here, show your camera.
Look at that deer.
Down, up, good.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Well, who was second? Who killed the deer after that? After
have
Travis?
To be
Jason.
It'd have to be Jason, I think. And Jason, Travis shot two of them. Jason shot two as well. But
you just shot one?
I shot one.
Gotcha. Yeah. Which one was your favorite, Jason?
Well, the 6-point, because my son was with me.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what you wanted to accomplish all hunt, like when you started hunt season, was so your son...
Well, I wanted him to shoot a deer, but this one is just way too far for him to shoot. And he's shooting a little 223, you know, starting out. And, I mean, there's no way I'd feel confident shooting something that far with that small of a gun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but, no, just his excitement, letting him go, you know, find it and all that, and... You know, letting them follow the blood. And
yeah.
I don't know if I showed you. I know I showed TJ the, his blood trailing of his doe that he had. I mean, he started backing up and maybe a foot away from the doe before you actually saw it.
Really?
Wow. It was hilarious just watching it and, you know, just his, you know, him saying, you know, I busted it, Daddy. I was like, you sure did, boy.
That's epic. TJ, it took you the longest, didn't it, brother?
It did.
Were you the last one on that lease to kill a deer?
Out of our group.
Out of our group, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I figured something out as far as some of these deer go, and I will be repeating it next year all season long, but I think you got to feed the crap out of them.
Really?
It's just what I think, because when I started feeding the crap out of them, that's when they started showing up regularly. I think, you know, in the first of the season, we're throwing out three seconds worth of corn out of the feeders, and towards the end of the season, we're throwing out a crap ton of corn out of the feeders. And I think that having a surplus of food, those little bucks get in there and they eat, and because they ain't scared of nothing, I think that there's plenty of food left for the larger bucks to come in later on and eat. And we're actually, you know, it's just my opinion. I don't know. But, you know, the end of the season, it was a cold morning, I think. It was pretty cool. Me and Travis had laughed, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but there's an app that I use that we kind of make fun of a lot because it supposedly factors in several different conditions to give you the best hunting scenario. You know, it's kind of like the old fishing things where, you know, fishing's good between this time of the day or whatever, the lunar activity. But this app said it was going to be good that day, and we were laughing about we ain't going to see shit. You know,
that's normally how it goes.
And I don't know, that morning I saw a few small bucks, and I was watching one to my left, in my left lane for a while, and I happened to look up, and there's another small buck out in front of me, and then this bigger buck, and I was like, shit, that's a mature deer. I ain't never seen this deer before. I don't think I had it on camera. I don't know. I just know that its neck was all freaking huge. I mean, this deer, the way it was standing there, it looked like freaking, you know, the daddy buck off of Bambi or something. Just all
majestic.
Majestic. Yeah, and I was like, that son of a bitch is dead. And so I threw the old Win-Mag, 300 Win-Mag up, and was it 300 Win-Mag?
Yep.
And busted his ass.
Well, that's good, man. So yeah. It was a majestic deer that you killed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he didn't score worth the shit. You know, I mean, and if people can see behind Travis up on the wall, that's him sitting up there. He looks a lot bigger in person than he does on that camera. And then Jason's got a picture here that I'll show. And this has been on the Instagram and things like that as well. So if anybody's, like, listening and they're like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
Right.
Like, this is that's him. So he wasn't a bad deer. Had a double white patch on his throat, which I thought was pretty cool. And I can't attest to this personally. I don't know if Travis just says it to make me feel better, but apparently this buck had the biggest balls of everybody because he whipped the shit out of everybody.
Dude, you should have got that whole deer stuffed.
Yeah, no.
Why? Do y'all know anybody that's ever done that?
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy. The only person I know that's actually had it done is a dude named Ben Parker up in Real Foot Lake, Tennessee. He had two bucks. Him and his wife, which he may not be married to her anymore. I don't remember. Maybe it was a girlfriend. Hell, I don't know. But they had, the story was they had his and hers bucks stuffed full. But I don't know.
I've never seen that before.
You go to Cabela's and see that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're not as big as you think they are.
Really?
Not the ones you see at Cabela's and things. Yeah, like those deer look bigger alive, but once you get right up on them, they're not very big. Standing up.
That's nuts.
Well, huh? And then they stuff it. They just wrap the skin around a styrofoam form. So it's not like a deer could be a lot bigger in real life, and when they order the form, it's like small, medium, or large.
Right.
I'm not a taxidermist, but, you know. Anyway, Travis, the deer had the biggest balls of everybody?
Yes, I'd seen them several times a couple weeks before, and I actually told TJ, I said, if you see, because I've already shot one. The second time I seen him, I almost shot him because he kept all the other bigger, nicer three-year-olds away from the protein and feeder and wouldn't let them eat. And I told TJ, if you see an 8-point, he has two white spots, I said, kill that deer. I said, because his horns weren't good. He was a big body deer, but his horns weren't good, and I didn't want him to pass it up because like I said, I hadn't seen one. And I told him, especially if Abby, his daughter, seen it, that would be the perfect deer for her. And that was great. I'm glad you killed it. I wish you had killed it.
Well,
2 months earlier.
Well, me too. But I busted his ass, and I don't know. I mean, it's a good deer. I got a lot of meat out of it. It's, what, 130 pounds?
Yeah, it's a big deer.
Something like that. Which is a big deer for East Texas. Not as big as freaking Travis's deer, of course. That's a, you know,
week before he shot it.
Look at it.
Here, Paul. Show everybody. Hold on. I'm working here. You got to flip the phone around for the camera to be able to see it.
Boom. There it is. On Travis's original iPhone.
Yeah.
First generation.
And, round back.
Our other buck will show up right in a second that we was talking about earlier. In the right corner.
I mean, the video, it just looks like a brown blob.
Well, even when I was looking at it, I was like, yeah, that deer is majestic, guys. Yeah,
no. Well, I'm telling you, in my mind, this sumbitch was the most majestic deer I've ever seen. He was kind of facing me at a 45, and his neck was, I mean, he had a very muscular neck. I mean, it was just a very mature deer, and I busted his ass. And what's funny is, I'm trying to think. I haven't edited the video down yet, but I did get it on film, me seeing him and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny because I was showing Travis and them the when I shot it, like I shoot him and I basically blow out both of his front two shoulders, and he like face plants and starts plowing for 30 yards.
What?
And yeah. And right behind him comes a freaking bigger deer running.
No.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yes, it did. It happens. You see it on TV
all
the time.
Why did you shoot that one?
Because that son of a bitch was still in the woods. I didn't ever see him. You know, I would do it again in a heartbeat. I wouldn't change a thing. I'd shoot that same deer not knowing,
sure,
you know, what was in the woods. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right. I mean, even when I looked at the footage when he was showing me, I didn't even see it until we got back to work. And he goes, hey, come here and look at this.
Yeah,
and there's
a
damn white blur going right past the camera.
Oh, man.
He didn't realize it because the video I seen, I didn't see that buck. The next day, or when we got back to the office, TJ said, and there's another deer that took off running. I said, let me see. Because a lot of those bucks, I was fortunate to see a lot of them back there and kind of knew what was back there. And when he showed it to me, my face just dropped. I was like, TJ, that deer was huge. And he argued with me for a second until he slowed it down. And when he slowed it down, we see it had probably, what would you say, at least a 12-inch G2?
Yeah, it was a big deer.
And I've never seen it. It was a white horn deer. And the first thing I told TJ is, like, I've never seen that deer. I don't know what deer that was, but it's huge.
Wow.
I said, you need to stay back there.
Mm.
And, you know, then I start messing with them, of course.
Right, of course.
Hey, man, you couldn't wait 10 more seconds. You'd have had a trophy.
Listen, the deer I shot, it was whooping everybody's ass and not letting them come to the feed. So I did the least. I did my duty as a
your Dewey.
Dewey Cox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, walk hard, motherfucker. Anyway, I did my duty as a responsible hunter of killing the bully deer.
Boom.
Yeah.
Get him out of the way.
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, dude, I'm excited about next year. I don't know. I just don't. That's what's awesome about it. The season's over, and in, what, 6 months? Almost to the day, we'll be mowing the deer lease.
That's what I was going to ask. When are y'all going to get back out there? Yeah. Like, when do you start for next season?
Probably 6 months. I mean, I still got to go out and collect all my game cameras and stuff. I still got probably $1,000 worth of game cameras in the woods.
Dang. Mm-hmm.
So we got to go out. And this year, I'm going to feed protein all year long. So I'm sure I got to go out and fill up my protein feeders and things like that.
Yeah, they were empty.
Yeah, and so got to fill up protein feeders. So we'll do a little things. We'll do little things all throughout the summer. But like I said, in September, usually my birthday weekend, which is September 1st, we'll be out there mowing and saying we're going to go on a dove hunt and actually just sit there and BS for a little while because no doves, we don't end up seeing any.
Well, we saw one.
Yeah, we saw one dove this year.
300 yards away.
Yeah.
Up at the camp? Yep. At y'all's lease?
At the lease, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you see them all the time, but like when we're actually going to hunt them, and like I said, it was one morning, we got up a little late, and I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
So, but yeah, we'll start mowing the first week of September, that whatever weekend that is. Then we fill up feeders that weekend too. We take a week off. We plow everything up. Mm-hmm. Then we usually come back, a week or two later and plant.
Depending on rain.
We plow it up and wait for it to rain before we plant. So, you know, I mean, 6 months, it'll be here before we know it.
Is it pretty bittersweet? Like when you go back and hunt season's over and you're cleaning up stuff, is it like, man, I'm going to miss this? Like, you know, this part of my life to where I got to escape a little bit.
Well, yes and no, in my opinion. I want everybody to kind of chime in on this. But yes, but when you go back out there, it's so freaking hot. And it's so the terrain, the land is so rough. I mean, all these guys, you know, that we've had on the podcast that are big Western hunters, hunting the backcountry and the mountains and all that stuff. I have no doubt in my mind that is extremely hard and extremely taxing on you and stuff like that. But you come to East Texas and you hunt some of this land, it has its own sets of challenges too, and it's just the thorniest, it's the thickest, it's the hottest, it's got chiggers everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in the summertime, it's probably one of the most miserable places you could spend time at.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask if y'all were just planning on going out there like on one summer weekend just to hang out.
Well,
not working, but just hanging out.
You know, we got the 2 acres that I bought, that's our camp, and there are some things that I would like to do throughout the summer, and hopefully once turkey season gets done, in the next 2 months, maybe like May, go out there before it gets unbearably hot. We need to finish the playground at camp, for the kids. We got a bunch of commercial playground equipment that we need to set up. I'd like to finish the skin and shack and get it walled in. You know, we've talked about building a pavilion, and we got a burn pile that's like the never-ending burn pile that will never go away.
Really?
Yeah, like we burn that so much down, and somebody's got to throw some more shit on it. And so
it's almost as big as the original pile.
Yeah, and it's been burned like 3 times. And so, you know, we got all those things that we need to do. We need to just go out there and do it, you know. And because last year, I think what was so hard on us, come time where we were ready to mow and things like that, we were all worn out. Because we'd been out there the last month working on camp, building fence, cutting brush, running electric lines. I mean, it took a month of weekends to get camp to where it was as nice as it was. And, you know, I think by the time we got to mowing and stuff, we were all so wore out from working on camp that it was like, you know, screw it. Let's just half-ass this or half-ass that. And, you know, I mean, I'll go ahead and say it. I think that's part of what happened with Jason is we worked on camp so much by the time we got to, you know, doing his stuff. And the spots in the back of the lease, they are the last spots that we work when we're there. So we start up front and we work our way to the back. So naturally, by the time we get to the back, we're all freaking tired and wore out anyway. And it's usually the second day. And so, you know, I give Jason crap just because, you know, I mean, he's closest in age to me. And we hunted a crap ton together this year, and which I really enjoyed. But, you know, I think that kind of goes with what he was saying. He just didn't have time to get to it or didn't have the energy to get to it or didn't have the money to get to it because we had spent so much up to that point working on camp.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we don't have to work on camp as much this year as we did last year. So,
but usually our spots, my spot, I don't know what I'm on, probably year 6 or 7. It takes at least minimum 3 years to get your spot halfway to what you want it to be.
Wow.
You can't get it done in 1 year unless you come in and take over somebody else's spot. But from scratch until you're happy with it, and you're never really happy with it, it takes at least 3 years.
Wow.
Because 5 years ago, I was hunting one lane. Now I have 4 big lanes. Stand hasn't moved.
That's awesome, man.
So,
well, and also, like, the spot I call Trump Tower, which is a clear cut like Jason has now. Mm-hmm. Mine was cut 2 years prior to his being cut, mm-hmm. I think. So I've got – this is my third year hunting it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this year, by hunting it the third year – and noticing the last 2 years, years, the deer movement, how they use it, I'm going to move my stand.
Mm.
And so 3 years worth of work, not all of it, but probably half of 3 years worth of work is now being thrown away, and I'm adapting to a different way to hunt the deer better.
Right.
So it's a never ending process until the planted pines get 10 feet up or 6 feet up in the air, 8 feet up in the air, that you're constantly observing the deer and seeing how they move through the terrain, and then trying to set up to where you're not going to spook them, but then you're at the best vantage point, things like that. So yeah, I mean, this year I'm going to have to move and basically throw away some work I did.
Yeah, right.
So when they clear cut it, Paul, you probably have 3 to 4 years to hunt it. So just say you can see 20 acres, 400 yards you can hunt. It's awesome because you can see so far. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're going to see a lot of deer, but in our minds or in my mind, I think the further I can see, the more deer I'll see.
More opportunity.
Yes. But after year three, it starts growing up, and it's up to your chest. Now it's harder to pick out those deer, and some in the humps, you can't see them. So around year three, year four, you went from seeing 400 yards to, like TJ was saying, okay, the next 10 years, I got to figure out how to hunt it the next 10 years. So the same spot, the first 3 years, you can hunt it one way, but following that, you have to have a plan and know where the deer are going to, where you think they're going to travel.
Right, right.
And then you're going to have to set up and start making your lanes. That way, when the trees start growing up, you still have your shooting lane.
That makes
sense.
You know,
about 20 yards wide. It's not fun.
Well I mean so it's not fun at all?
No.
So you have everything ready, and then all of a sudden, like in my case, you come out there and you're like, damn, what did they do?
Yeah.
I mean, the road that I've had for the last 20 years, I can't even drive a vehicle down.
Mm.
I have to drive my four-wheeler down and actually be careful because of all the crap that they've done. You know, and I mean, it's just something you got to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, but once you get it established, like Travis's, next year we'll go out, mow, done. Yeah, we're done with this. You know, what me and TJ are having to deal with, we're having to establish all of our stuff. Mm-hmm. So once those pine trees start growing, getting 5-6 foot tall, we have our lanes that we can actually hunt.
Right.
And, you know, to see whatever we want to see. And then they'll come through several years, and then they'll thin it. You know, and so, then it makes it better, like Travis's is right
so
now.
Like in 4 years, Jason and TJ spots, we'll have them established. So we'll go in, mow, get out like we're doing mine. And by then, they'll be clear-cutting mine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to start over like
start
they
over.
Had to.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a never-ending process.
And what it takes, I say I'm throwing away 3 years worth of work. What I've had to do is go in and, you know, when they clear-cut, there's limbs and crap and old and trees laying down. I mean, there's crap everywhere. And so you're having to go in. It's too rough for a tractor to get in there. So you're having to go in and, like, literally hand pick up limbs and stuff and throw them out of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you have stumps everywhere. So once you throw all the limbs out, you can get in there and kind of bush hog a little bit with it up high. Or like I did the first year, I took a freaking weed eater with a blade on it and ran a 140-yard lane that was 20 yards wide
mm-hmm.
with a freaking handheld weed eater.
Mm.
You know, and now, so I do that. I've got it this year where I could actually mow it. The stumps had rotted enough where I could actually mow it with a bush hog. Well, now this coming year, I'm moving the stand probably 30 yards over and up closer a little bit to a particular area. Now I got to cut a whole new lane to the left.
I gotcha.
So it's never freaking ending, it seems.
Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question, it's not fun in the summertime. To go
out there. No. Just part of it, though, boys.
Part of it.
Part of it.
Big plans next year, guys. Travis, let's start with you. What is your biggest plan? And don't say something like, I'm gonna build a hog pen. I mean, overall, what's your grand total on the stands that you have? What are you gonna do?
I'm lucky. I'm not like you and Jason. I don't have to do anything, but I got three stands. One of them has that feeder pen. I'm adding another one. And the other two, I just want to add feeder pens because that was my weakness. I don't have to move a stand. I don't have to cut anything. I moved in two new stands this year,
yeah.
Two boxes. So I got the hard work out of the way, unless they've cut something. Everything else is basically going to be helping y'all to get y'all stuff moved.
Well, we got lots of help, don't we, Jace?
Yeah.
What, Jason, what are you doing this year?
This year, well, I'm going to have a spot that I've had it for a decoy for the last several years to keep away from my clear cut. And since Jake's hunting now, and I'm going to there's an open area that is going to take a little bit to get to, but I want to have that, you know, established so he can have a closer shot and, you know, just a better opportunity. So back there, just creating a new spot for him.
Yeah, so, that's great, man.
Well, you know, I don't really know what, as far as what I got going on. I mean, I'm just going to.
Who knows? You're going to have a lot. I know it's going to be a lot.
I got this spot called the Swamp that I need to be working right now.
Oh, wow.
I need to be working on it right now while the snakes are still somewhat.
Hibernating. Yeah, dude.
Because.
Swamp equals money.
I'm telling you, dude, that swamp's going to be the best spot on the deer list, though. I think it has I'm not even joking. I think it has the potential to be one of the top spots on the deer list.
Well, congrats, man. Get out there and clean it up.
Shit.
Hey, all you got to do is give a $20 bill to three boys and give them a damn hatchet and go at it.
Dude, let me tell you, Travis has these nephews. Are they your nephews?
Mm-hmm. So Jason's kids.
No.
So.
No. His wife's sister's kids.
Gotcha.
And they found a machete, I guess is what they had. There ain't a damn limb at our camp below 8 feet. They got every damn tree delimbed up to 8 feet tall on the whole deer, on the whole camp. I mean,
bad?
Well, I mean, we kind of wanted a little bit of privacy. Yeah, but then
we was working on stuff that we turned around and looked and.
They done
had everything pruned. I mean, they didn't hurt anything. It's just like where we are at when we was clearing all the lanes.
Yeah.
We learned our lesson. John, bring your kids when we're out here working.
Well, yeah. What are you guys going to be doing with your time now that hunting season's over? And I mean, I know you're going to get ready for next year, but are y'all going to go hunt something else? Or are y'all going to go fishing? What are y'all doing?
I have 4 turkey hunts lined up, I think.
All right.
Next week is spring break, so we'll be in New Mexico next week for spring break. Then the following Thursday, I'll fly out to Florida to turkey hunt with Reese Richards.
All right.
Bearded Outdoors, yeah. I'll hunt with him Thursday through Sunday. I'll fly back on Sunday. Then the next week, I think, is it the very next week, Travis, that –
I'm pulling it up.
I think it's the very next week.
Got a lot going on.
Me and Travis go to Jacksboro, Texas, which is the other side of Fort Worth, and we're going to kill some Rios.
Rios.
Yeah. When you go to Florida, the 21st.
I go not next weekend, but the weekend after.
You're going to Florida again?
No.
You're going 23rd. And then you're going to turn around, and we're going the 29th through 31st.
There you go. So, boom.
2 weekends.
Spring break, Florida, then Jacksboro, Texas. Then I think I got a week off, and then me and Jason are going to Kansas to kill turkeys.
All right.
I got another turkey hunt in Tennessee that I'm supposed to go on with. I'm bringing my boy David Frisbee from Drake Waterfowl. He's going to come out and hunt with me on that one. And I think that's it.
What about the hog contest?
Hog contest is they're trying to figure out their dates on when they're going to come hunt with us. And so – I told them the earlier the better, as long as we're not turkey hunting, because I don't want to be out there when it's hot.
Right.
It's miserable.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's kind of where we're at. But then, that's March and April. They're done, you know? Mm-hmm. So, we got May, June, July, August, and then we're back in hunting.
It's crazy, isn't it, y'all? Time's flying. Yeah. Time is flying.
Because we start hunting the first week in October.
It'll be here before y'all know it.
28th this year.
28th of September?
Yep. I think so.
There you go. Bow season opens 28th of September.
Be here before y'all know it.
28th of September.
Yep. One of these days we'll have enough time to actually really set up some bow stands too, because usually the bow stands get the shaft of just, by that time we're like, screw it, let's just hang a stand here, and if we get lucky, we'll
get lucky. You know. It's only 2 weeks, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for being on the show. I think it was fun. I'm tired. It's time to go to bed just about. Talking about all that work and crap has got me worn out.
And y'all got me worn out.
I'm telling you, I think it was a pretty good, and I think you guys will tend to agree it was a successful season.
Absolutely.
You know, we did get a couple of does. Everybody got does as well, so we got plenty of meat in the freezer for the upcoming summer spring and summer, and hopefully we'll get a lot of turkeys too, and we'll just have plenty of meat.
Total number of deer killed this year, how many?
45.
Dang.
I don't know.
You know?
What was it? It was either 48 or 58, something like that. 14 bucks.
59
deer.
Congrats, guys.
Killed off our place this year.
14 bucks.
14 bucks. That's the most, yeah.
And the largest nine, buck, too, right?
Largest
or
buck.
One of the largest bucks.
Yeah.
Within an inch.
Yeah. Largest scoring buck. And that's the last largest weighing buck, too. So it was a good year.
There you go. Very good
year. Getting bigger and bigger.
Getting bigger and bigger. And with all the rain we've had, they're supposed to be even a better year next year.
For the fawns.
Yeah.
And everything. Yep.
I don't know. It's exciting.
Get after it, boys.
Get after it. All right. Guys, thanks for listening. Be sure you subscribe to the HuntCast on iTunes. Leave us a review. That way other people can find us. Also, check out the YouTube channel and subscribe to that as well. If you don't follow us on Instagram, go over and do it now. John Blake, take us out, my man.
Thank you for listening to the HuntCast. Stay up to date with all new episodes, special guests, and appearances by following us on your favorite social media platform. Search the HuntCast on Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram at the HuntCast.